Shout out to Ray Brewer, our favorite reviewer.
You heard it. Prep Sports Now has made it. Ray Brewer in a rap song. Prep Sports Now, this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for a football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero, always buckle up, watch out for pedestrians, and don't drive distracted. Las Vegas' season ends, gets beat up pretty good against Green Valley, loses in the end by 2 touchdowns, but I think that rap song is going to go on forever.
I love that song. Shout out to the crew at Vegas for making that. I love the spirit. I love the rivalry between Vegas and Green Valley and how it was friendly / unfriendly and heated leading up to game time. And shout out for those Gators. Kyler Chavez, man, what a great little end of a career he's having for the Gators. They get it done against Las Vegas, move on to face Liberty, let the trash talk begin another week. But I will tell you this. I do not regret picking Vegas. In fact, a coach who's played both Green Valley and Vegas this year, I was talking to him before the game, and he told me that if they played that game 10 times, he thought Vegas would win 7 out of 10. Clearly wrong, because I think Green Valley not only won, but they soundly defeated Vegas. And they move on to the Sunrise Championship. We get the game we wanted, finally. Liberty, Green Valley.
Yeah, and when you told me that 7 out of 10 thing, I said there's one reason why that's absolutely not true, and it's because Christian Lopez. I mean, you can't – there's one thing that's universal for just about all levels of football, in my opinion, and it's if you have a great quarterback, you're going to win more despite the rest of the parts. And I'm not saying Green Valley doesn't have good rest of the parts, but I'm saying that in a game like that where the teams might look a little evenly matched, when you have a huge edge at quarterback, I think you're going to win more than half
so
of them.
Christian Lopez played for Vegas like his brother –
I'm not trying to, like, anger people or anything. I think he's a difference maker. And that being said, I don't think he was the best player on the field on Friday night. I mean, you mentioned Kyler Chavez. I wrote about him and Albert Lake. Had 3 turnovers, I think 3 touchdowns. I mean, they had some kids that just really stepped up. But I think before you can say Vegas is a better team, they'd win more than half the times. I think the difference to me in that is Christian Lopez.
I don't want to give out my picks or preview the rest of the show. I was torn in this Liberty-Green Valley pick, but when you look how Green Valley matches up against Liberty, if Lopez is on and he's slinging it, first of all, he could always take off and run, so you got to be honest and you got to keep an eye on him. But if you look at his receivers, who's he going to throw it to? Varner, Perkins, Chavez, Hernandez, right? And then you've got the good tailback. Now, Larry Norman's emerged as a good tailback, and that offense could beat you with Norman running, and, of course, you've got Crosby blocking up front, or they could sling it around, and who are you going to put your best DB on? Like, who's the alpha dog that I've got to mark this guy every week? Is it Varner? Is it Chavez? Is it Hernandez, who I love? Is it Perkins, who might be the best athlete of the group? And I think that's where Green Valley has an advantage. Now, they've got some disadvantages.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy how many weapons they have. I think the top 2 receivers this game were Chavez, obviously, and Perkins. I think the last time I saw them, I want to say the top receivers were Varner and Hernandez. I mean, it can just be someone different in – I don't think one guy's necessarily a whole lot better than the other, so you got to kind of pick your poison. My thing is, I think you asked me what their weaknesses are. I still think defensively they made a lot of turnovers. They kind of kept Vegas at bay, at least in the first half. But defensively, you got to be worried about how they're going to match up with Liberty. I mean, we talked last week that they've given up more points than anyone else. Over there, they say, look, our defense is getting a lot better. Part of it is we just play so fast that the other team gets a lot of possessions. And yeah, that's part of it. But I've also been at a lot of these Green Valley games where it feels like when the other team gets the ball, they're going to score. Yeah. So I think defensively they still have some issues. And I think Liberty, for all the weapons Green Valley has, Liberty has that many weapons too.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think Tyler Newman, first off, shout out the Canyon Springs because that defense is legit. They frustrated Liberty all night, arguably should have won the game, but Liberty integrity prevailed in showing what a true championship team they are. Tyler Newman had an awful game. Throws a nice ball, there's no doubt about it, but he had interceptions. He was off. Part of that was because, obviously, Canyon was getting good pressure, but the McCoy kid is legit for Liberty. You've seen him play, right?
Yeah.
I think he's better than any of the four Green Valley kids, in my humble opinion.
Well, see, that's the thing is why
– I don't know if 2, 3, and 4, they match up with Green Valley's 2, 3, and 4.
I mean, I think maybe the other kids just had a bad game when you were – because I came away with that impression when I saw them. I mean, McQuaig is obviously probably their top receiver, but they have, like, the kids whose name I'm probably going to butcher, Drew Helatic.
Okay.
I love Brian Rowland. Maybe he didn't have a big game when you were at.
I like Brian Rowland, too. He's a sophomore. He's the real deal. He's going to be, you know, one of the drivers of the Liberty Cadillac the next 2 years.
Yeah, Chris Reed, Bradley Valoria, all these kids have catches. And then running wise, they've got, I think it's 4 kids averaging like 7 yards a carry.
Tua Loggi, I like. Parvin ran well. No doubt, Liberty has got...
Brennan Adams.
Yeah, dude, let me tell you, Liberty's the real deal. What impresses me about Liberty is how... And this was the second time I've seen Liberty play this year. But, okay, Liberty Case is the 3-time Sunrise champions, yet the team they're rolling out on the field this year has very little experience. Jarvis Polo played some plays. Their center played, obviously, some plays last year. And then you got to look to really find guys that were regulars on that team in past runs. It's a lot of first-time varsity players, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. Liberty Case is going to be great for years to come. I think Green Valley, the window is like, when now? Or because next year, who do they have? Chavez and Lake.
And I think Chavez is a senior.
I mean,
is he not?
I'm sorry. Lake and Lopez. I call Chavez Lopez.
I think they're going to be pretty – I think that's a pretty good starting point. I think they'll be good next year.
They're going to be good.
Canyon and Vegas are losing a lot too.
Listen. The North is awful this year, and I know every year I say the team from the South that travels up to the North struggles, but I really think the Green Valley Liberty winner is in the driver's seat to get a crack at Gorman in the state game at Sam Boyd Stadium. I really do think that, in my humble opinion. I'm just an opinion giver.
Green Valley, though, rushing, they have some guys, too. It's not just Liberty that has depth. They've actually gotten to where... At least this game, they switched out every series, Larry Norman and Albert Lake. And I think that on any given night, one of the two is going to have a better game. It was Lake against Vegas. He was really running with some authority, had a big game. So it's going to be interesting. A lot of some housekeeping first while we're on this game before we move on to more. I can't believe I forgot to say this at the top. But the rap song, we have to credit it, by Emmer Swag. Our boy Emmer Swag. Gave you the shout-out.
Shout-out to Emmer Swag for giving me a shout-out. I thought that was cool. I asked my wife, I'm like, hey, do you want me to play? This kid wrote me into his rap song. Do you want to hear it? Doesn't even think twice. She's right away now. I'm like, why? It's me and a song. She's like, well, I'll listen to it when it's on the radio. And I'm like, well, yeah, but he swears, so it's never going to get on the radio.
She's going to listen to it when it gets on the radio?
She told me. She goes, I'll listen to it when it gets on the radio.
I love Emmer Swag. But I don't think he's getting on the radio anytime soon. I don't think maybe your wife has a little, doesn't maybe understand the...
Yeah, yeah. She thought it wasn't like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
What if Emmer Swag turns out to be Jay-Z and I was on his first album? Just letting you know.
All right. The tough part I'm having about Green Valley Liberty and why I've flipped back and forth who I'm picking.
And I flipped back and forth too.
Which I really have flipped back and forth is I feel like Green Valley... You more know what you're going to get to me. I think they're more consistent. Their defense, I think, is going to give up some points, but offensively, they're going to score. They're going to throw it around. They're going to have like 400 plus yards. And Liberty, I just feel like at their best, is a better team. I mean, when they,
amen. That helps.
Yeah,
I agree
when
that.
When they almost beat Hamilton, some of their better local games when they pulled away from Coronado was pretty impressive. But then you got to think about the first 3 quarters. I think Liberty at their best is better, but they also just have some performances that I think are worse than Green Valley is capable of putting out there.
And my question is not which team is going to play better. It's which team is going to implode first. Because we know both teams are – I mean, the first half for Liberty against Canyon, I was there. There were some awful penalties for Liberty, all kinds of problems. And it's, you know, what team is going to implode first? You know, Liberty's got a lot of younger players. They're not going to be perfect season senior players. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Although Green Valley in their own right had, I think, 16 penalties on Friday. But I don't know if it, 5 touchdowns called back. I don't know that it was all their fault. I think the crew was a little obsessed with throwing the flag.
I followed Tyrell Crosby on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And he had a few screen grabs from Huddle of penalties he was called, like, for holding on.
Oh, really? I would be interested to see that because I'm toned down now, but I was fired up and kind of angry about what was going on the sideline on Friday. Because they would throw a flag for holding every other play, and I think, like, 4 of them were on Crosby. And did they look iffy on the screen grab?
I tell you what, to see this, if you look at Tyrell Crosby this time last year to this time last year, he was a little chubby, strong, big, chubby kid. Now he's like this lean, quick, Oregon commit machine. Looks real good. Look how slender he looks there.
Well, he's making juice.
He's making juice. I like the countertops in his house, too.
God, this podcast take, we're now breaking down Tyrell Crosby's Twitter photos.
Yeah, that's the first hold.
Oh yeah, that definitely looks like a hold. Not, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean,
did you go to the second one?
The second one was a picture of the Temptations album. So
no, go the other way.
Oh, okay.
Go the other way.
No, the other way isn't. Okay, there's another one. Yeah. Ooh, there's some nice Oregon socks. Yeah, like I said, I thought the penalties were ridiculous. The Green Valley people were really complaining because they had touchdowns called back. But the thing was, Vegas I think had 15 penalties too, so it was all over the place. And God, I don't know. I mean, hopefully that doesn't mar this Liberty game. The thing is, both these teams kind of have had problems getting in penalties. Liberty, the last 4 or 5 years, that's been what we've talked about, is that they do things like that at the wrong time. And Green Valley, I asked, I didn't ask everyone about, I interviewed 2 of their players. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think Lake brought up the penalties when I was interviewing him, and I asked him about, you know, how frustrating was that when every play you don't know if there's going to be a flag, and he said, we're kind of used to it. We've unfortunately had a lot of penalties this year. So hopefully this game doesn't turn into a penalty fest, but maybe it's something you got to worry about with the two teams.
And I think Liberty kind of grew up there on Friday because they played the out-of-state games, and we saw how they got better each game. They got crushed in the first game against the school from Tucson. They went down to California and played Centennial Corona, which was ranked. They gave up a lot of points, but they scored a lot of points. And then it was like, hold on, if they put up almost 50 against this team, they're going to be able to score all year. Then they beat up on a local team. Then they had Hamilton. They played it close, so you saw the improvements, right? Then they get into league play. Pretty much it's pretty pedestrian. There's not, you know, with the exception of Coronado, there's not too many struggles. And you say, okay, well, this young team, have they really been tested outside of the out-of-state games? Well, they got socked in the mouth a little bit by Canyon there, and they responded, and they played great in the second half. They didn't give up any points. You got to give Morocco a lot of credit. He, I think, does a phenomenal job of controlling emotions. Like, he knows when to get on a kid's butt versus when to praise him and when to, I mean, I think he managed it so well. Like I said, when I talked to him after the game, I said, at halftime, give me the PG version. What'd you tell the kids? And he right away was like, oh, wouldn't you help the kids? No way. We built them up. We made them feel good about themselves. We told them what they had to correct. Where I would have gone in there and been like, you guys are worthless pieces of blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And so it proves why I'm not a good coach.
Interesting. Well, maybe they've learned that's the way to coach them, because I think I've seen a...
No, Morocco gets on it.
Yeah.
I love
to say, I can remember some Liberty halftime speeches I've seen from years past where they were pretty intense.
No, he said that it wasn't like that. Now, during the game, there's a few times when he yelled, and I love watching his emotions. I could watch that guy, and he's got his little... because he's got his playoff beard going, too.
Oh, boy.
Yes, he's got the playoff beard, the stocking hat. It's cold out, right? You can't feel your arms and your legs in shorts.
I just want to know if he's juicing at home, like Tyrell Crosby. All right.
He's not making juice. All right. On the weekends.
We're going to get back to this game when we make the picks. I think that gives you a pretty good layout of our opinions, though. But first, let's get to a few of the other contests going on. I want to say something. No one can say that everything that happens in high school football this year is predictable or we saw coming, because look at the Division I-A state championship game. Faith Lutheran traveling up to Churchill County. Who in the world would have had these two teams meeting for the title? I don't think Churchill County, I don't know much about the North. They're obviously the team from Reno, but not the one you hear about, not the one I think that had the highest expectations going into the season. And Faith Lutheran, a bunch of people weren't even picking them for the playoffs. So what a crazy game we have here for the state gold.
Yeah, and what a great job by Faith Lutheran this year. Lost those first two games, have won 11 straight, balanced passing, balanced running attack, playing great defense, and Vernon Davis is just, I mean, Vernon Fox. Vernon Davis plays for the 49ers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I had him against the team I played in fantasy this week. But Vernon is like one of these master motivators where he's getting the most out of the kids. You predicted that. The guy could tell me that I could go walk on fire, and I would do it.
And I don't know. I hope you're not mad at me for bringing this up. And I'm not saying you are negative, but when we talked about it before the season, you're like, you know, this guy's never – he hasn't coached at this level. Why are you so confident? Because I was telling you, like, this guy is a former NFL player. I've talked to him on the phone. He's inspiring. He's going to be a great coach. And you're like, he's never done it before. How can you have so much confidence?
He's never called any plays. What's going on?
For everything I've been wrong about this year, which is most, I'm getting killed in the picks. I've been wrong on most of the bets we make. I think I owe you $10. I was absolutely right about this Faith Lutheran program.
You were. And I got to go, first of all, Vernon was smart. He's a real smart guy, and he's got a lot of help helping him out. Jake Cody, who had been at the school forever before he stepped down, has stayed on staff. And, you know, Jake's been there every step of the way. I talked to Jake on Saturday, and he told me what a blessing Vernon's been for that whole program. And it's just amazing how when they wanted a head coach, it took them like, if you remember, it took them like 3 months to find a head coach. Because they just didn't want any coach. Because to be the coach at Faith, it's not all about football there. You got to have the whole religious backbone. And here's Vernon. He's a guy that, you know, he's super religious. When you call him, he's got the gospel music playing in the background. And it's not just lip service. He totally believes. And somehow he's managed to blend football and religion. And the kids think they're equally important. Like, if you follow some of the kids on Twitter, they're like, you know, it's not, hey, we're going to state. It's like, oh, the Lord's blessed us, and we're going to state. So for them to buy in like that, and what they're doing on the field, and the great defense they're playing, you can't say too much. I mean, amazing.
For sure. They're playing great on just about, I mean, all levels, throwing the ball pretty well with Jacob DeVille. Keenan Smith has slowed down a little bit from earlier in the year, but still, I mean, the kid's explosive, has a ton of rushing yards. Yeah, Fabian Liquidi. Has a lot of yards. And then, I mean, they got receivers, and they're stopping the pass and stopping the run. I mean, you can't say anything bad about them.
Mark Rubalacaba, the wideout. And then Dolby with the kicks.
Trent Dolby.
Three field goals.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can say bad about this team. It is tough going up north, though. And your theory took a big hit up the north theory, because Moapa goes up and loses to Churchill County, who was worse than Lowry. Lowry's clearly better than them, beat them, and then Faith Lutheran doesn't have to go anywhere, and they beat Lowry.
Lowry knows how to travel. That's what they do. They pack those big bags, and they get going. Eight turnovers for the Pirates, including six interceptions, kind of spells their fate. They still had a chance, down by three with about 3 minutes to go. They forced Churchill County to punt, rough the kicker, next play, Churchill County to the house, 10-point lead, game, set, match. First time since 06, Case, when Virgin Valley won state in 06, that Moapa will not be in the state championship game. And only the third time since 94, the year I graduated high school, that neither Truckee Tahoe or Moapa will be in the state game.
Just insane. I can't believe it. What a disappointing finish for Moapa Valley. And, I mean, your heart kind of goes out to those kids. They had a great year. They had a great team. Congrats to them on that, but I mean, God, I can't believe they aren't in this game. It's stunning to me.
It's stunning. Now, if if roles were reversed, if they host instead of if it's the year when Faith has to travel up there and Moapa gets to host, I think we're talking about Moapa in the state game. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And Moapa was right there with them. They're still the Yankees for me on the Division 1A. I still think they're always going to be the team to beat. They run a great program. They do a great job in the off season. They're one of the gems, the jewels of Nevada high school football, something we could all be proud of. But it just says how far we've come with Faith Lutheran getting there. And I'm telling you this, I think everybody in town cases room for Faith.
Obviously, for sure.
Remember, 3 years ago, Faith has got 18 seniors. 3 years ago, they had no JV team, and those seniors all played varsity. And that's when Faith was in the Northwest Division. They were getting beat up by Centennial, getting beat up by Palo Verde. And I think those bruises help get them better for where they're at now.
Oh, yeah, and I distinctly remember the first year I was here. It was right in that stretch. And at our media day, you had, like, Palo and Cimarron sending – I don't remember who Palo sent, but I remember Cimarron sending, like, all these guys that are playing D1 now. I remember the Hassan brother that's on UNLV, I think.
James Poole,
Steven Nixon, who was like a super track athlete. And then you had Palo sending all these guys that I'm sure play somewhere now are huge. And then Faith Lutheran had like one kid show up that looked like he was just not on the same level. And it was kind of a sad sight. And to see what they are now, pretty unbelievable. We're going to get back to their games for picks purposes. Moapa Valley almost beats Churchill County, but I think had like a -5 turnover ratio or something and still almost beats them. Stunning. I can't believe it. The word that just I keep coming back to is disappointing. Speaking of disappointing, to touch on the other two games, for Legacy to have such a great season and almost beat Gorman or play with Gorman and then lose 40-0 to Arborview, I think their disappointment's got to be right up there with Moapa Valley's. And so Arborview marches on, and they're the team that gets the shot at Gorman instead of Legacy.
The Final Four in the Sunset. Stop me if you've heard this before. Bishop Gorman, Arborview, Palo Verde, Centennial. Sound familiar?
It does sound familiar.
Have you had those four before?
No, I mean, it's not stunning, but it's just the way Legacy's year was going. I think a few weeks ago, we wouldn't have thought they'd be out
okay.
Right now.
You know I like to watch Castle and NCIS, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the premise of Castle is, you got this book writer who's following around, this detective. They solve crime with the NYPD. So they eventually get engaged, and now she gets a job with the FBI in D.C., and they're living apart. And you're thinking, oh, my God. They're living apart. What's going to happen, right? And I always tell myself, these shows always go back to the original premise, fighting crime together in New York City, or whatever they do at NCIS and the Navy Yard. That's just how high school football is. No matter how good Legacy looked, I always sense that we get back to the original storyline. Palo Verde, Arborview, Centennial, the fighting Bishop Gorman Gales. What is this, 4 years in a row with the same Final Four?
Wow, that's crazy. It's probably
right?
True, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Centennial. Talking about young teams, Leon Evans had to replace, 16 starters? He returned Toby Lopez, Lance Worthington, and Jared Cody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe another guy that I forgot, and I apologize to you, the other guy. 18 new guys? 17 new guys? Right? They go, they play an out-of-stock game, they get kicked in the teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get better, they get better, they get better. They beat Legacy. They were down 17-0 last week against Legacy. They rallied, they win. That right there gave Arborview the confidence. I mean, right? Legacy didn't feel good about themselves going into the Arborview game. Arborview motivated, signed, sealed, delivered. We got our Final Four. Not a current rivalry that I like to see more than Palo Centennial in every sport. Schools hate each other. Passionate fans. We'll see it Friday night. Can't wait.
I love the Centennial Arborview rivalry, maybe more.
Well, I love it.
But still.
I love there's nothing I like more than Thanksgiving Saturday, Palo Gorman.
Yeah.
Nothing I love more.
And
that's when the game should be played. That's when we celebrate high school football. That's when the kids that are playing on that field, when they get there for warm-ups and they look out in the stands and it's packed and you see all the other kids from all the other schools that aren't playing, you realize you've done something real special. Your hard work's worth something. You're in the marquee game in Nevada that everybody cares about. Everybody loves the 702.
Sure.
Everybody hates the 775.
Sure, and it's probably going to happen. I mean, those two teams got to be the favorite. But Palo kind of struggled on Friday, right? They didn't exactly...
They gave up two short... Opening kick, the kid from Cimarron took it almost to the house, scored quickly, and then they gave up another touchdown on a short field. With the exception of that, I think they handled it. Listen, they didn't exactly have to get ready to play Cimarron.
That's true.
It wasn't on their radar. Centennial, that's on their radar, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Darian Finn has been huge for the Panthers at tailback. I know we always talk about Rost or Tall. I know we talk about your boy Michael Hughes Jr. on the line. I know we talk about how Paolo brought 3 of 5 linemen back from last year. But when push comes to shove, the white and the black, the green and the black, the Panthers of Palo Verde, they're going to pound the rock. Darian Finn, Calvin Bouye. Can't say his last name. Couldn't say his brother's last name either.
You've said you've gotten most of the names, but you've forgotten one very important one. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Go ahead, baby.
Josh Hamilton.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The kids of terror on defense.
Josh Hamilton, that's on me.
He could be the difference here.
I read your Gorman story. Great job on that. Tony gave you a lot. The linebacker, Chris Lawley, best defender in Las Vegas.
Hands down, I think he said the best defender.
That guy makes – it's just like we do all this work. I do all this work in the spring and the summer. We have all the kids, and we find out who's going to be good. Tony wrote – we have like 7 kids on our all-sun team from Gorman. Tony wrote down another like 10 kids to watch, Chris Lawley not included. Now all of a sudden, he's like the player of the year. You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Who was their great linebacker 3 years ago?
Lyles.
Yeah.
Lyles. That kid was awesome too.
Right? Kind of undersized, under the radar. Mm-hmm. But without Ron Lyles, who knows if Gorman beats Palo 3 years ago in that great Thanksgiving game. Right? Chris Lawley, same thing. My humble opinion.
Yeah, well, 2 good games this week, like you said. The same Final Four we've become accustomed to seeing. But before we got off on this, what I meant was I think Centennial's first-round performance was more impressive than Palo's, hands down. I mean, they beat a better Shadow Ridge team 50-13. Palo only gets by Cimarron 42-20. I know that's kind of without a lot of details, but still, I think if you're backing Centennial in this game, which I hinted that I might last week, that they're going to have a good chance – you got to like the way that they're playing right now.
No doubt. Is it fair to say they're the hottest team in Nevada?
I mean, yeah, I think you could say so. I mean, they shut out Cimarron, who Cimarron kind of struggled on offense all year, so that's not saying much. But this is in the last month, I guess. Shut out Cimarron, played Gorman pretty tight, all things considered. They lost by 28, but not terrible. Come back from that deficit against Legacy, and then just totally blow out Shadow Ridge. So that's pretty good month's work.
I agree with you. And they're peaking at the right time. Great job by Leon getting his program organized. And watch out for the dogs in the future.
All right, you have anything else to say about these teams, or should we start picking?
Well, we'll start picking. I had a question for you on the Gorman-Arborview game, but we'll just do it in the picks.
All right.
You want to start with them?
Sure.
Okay, Gorman-Arborview. Arborview opened in 03 or 04. They've never been past the semis, probably because when they get there, they run into Gorman most years. Last year, of course, they ran into Centennial. Do you really think – you've seen both teams play, right?
I have.
Do you think that Arbor could be as physical – or hang with Gorman physically?
I mean, from just – this is why it's tough because we don't see every game every week. And the only time I saw Arborview, I saw them not being physical or good enough against Palo. And when I saw Gorman, they were hanging in there with the best team in the country. So from what I've seen, I say no.
Okay. Because
But I know Arborview goes extremely hard in the weight room, and they got this great program. And
I'm not saying that they can't. Arborview is strong and physical. Don't get me wrong. But I just think that you can't equal Gorman's physicality and their strength. And I worry about, I don't know how to say this. Listen, I wish that Arborview wouldn't have been thoroughly dominated by Paolo. They could have lost to Paolo, but to be dominated like that to Paolo, you got to say, how could you bring it against Gorman, a team that's bigger, stronger, and faster than Paolo, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that I know we want a close game against Gorman so we could have something to write about, something to be interested in, and because running clocks in the playoffs suck. But I have a feeling that this is just going to be an old-fashioned take you out behind the shed and beat you up.
So not an old-fashioned slugfest like Tony Sanchez said on the story.
Tony trying to get his kids to think that it might be a slugfest. I disagree. I think that Gorman wins handily. Not to take anything away from Arborview, but they've been vulnerable. They were vulnerable against Legacy. They were vulnerable against Paolo. Arbor's one of the top five teams in Vegas the last 3 or 4 years. That's something they should be extremely proud of. And this is not an obituary. This is not a concession speech. I just don't know if this version of Arborview, no Elijah George, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if this version of Arborview could hang with Gorman. Now, you know what? I said that 3 years ago when they played in the semis, and Arborview hung with them punch for almost a half and had some great drives. Maybe they do that. And I'll tell you this, Arborview ain't going to back down against Gorman. They'll come ready to play. They'll come excited. They want the challenge, and they think they could win. And a lot of times when teams play Gorman, I've said this 1,000 times, they don't think they got a prayer.
Yeah, and they do have a lot of kids that can run the ball. I don't know if they can run it on Gorman, but I'm always just intrigued by who has the best game week to week, because it's always someone different. This has to be their fifth leading rusher of the year, and the first win over Legacy. Devin Turner had over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then, of course, they have Smith, Speaks, Gray, and Boyce. I just don't see it happening, though. I've got Gorman really big, too. Pretty simple. Since we started on that side of town, I guess we got to go to Paolo and Centennial. I was a little dismayed to see your score, because last week I was telling you this could be a really close game and go either way, so I was hoping maybe this could be our bet, but you have Paolo only winning by 4. What's going on all of a sudden?
I'm just listening. I told you once, and I'll tell you again, Centennial is A, the hottest team in the Valley, and B, this is a rivalry game that is going to be decided in the last minutes. Do you remember 2 years ago, Parker's sophomore year, and they won on some crazy little flip that he had in the last play of the game to beat Centennial when we thought Paolo was just going to roll?
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario. I think that this game is going to be decided in the fourth quarter, and I just think Paolo's got a few more weapons than Centennial.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The thing is, I still would not be surprised at all if Centennial pulls off this win. I think they've been good enough lately that you kind of have to give them that right. But I can't pick against Paolo to make it this far. I've seen Paolo when they're at their best, and
let me throw out a quick theory real fast, and let me know if I'm crazy. Do you think Centennial, which as we've brought up is a young team that had some low expectations, do you think the fact that they beat Legacy to get the 2, the fact that they rolled Shadow, and that they've made it this far, where if they lose, their season will still be classified as a success, do you think that at all plays against Centennial's favor, knowing that they're playing with house money?
No, not really. I mean, this is Paolo. I think they're going to be fired up playing for this game. So I don't think so.
Gangrene.
But maybe it could if they go down. And, of course, they're going to say this would never happen, and I would too if I'm a player. But if they go down 14 or 20 to nothing and really not out of the game, I could see that being like, well, we made it this far. We had a great year. But then again, I actually take that out, because they just lost to – they were just down to Legacy by that much, and they came back and won. So I don't think they're going to – I don't think they're gonna give up at any point, and I don't think that's going to be in their mind. True, but I think it's going to be close. The first game, I know you say it doesn't count because it was the Wind Bowl. It was still really, really close.
It was really, really close. Part of me says it's cold out. You know, there's got to be some kids that are going to be like, listen, my career's over. I had fun. I just want to get some hot cocoa, get on the bus, and watch a movie with my young lady.
I think it comes down to Paolo's defense. Too good. I think that's why they're going to win.
Did it snow when you played high school football?
Never like heavily, but a little bit.
Did that excite you?
No, I hate cold.
So do I. So. Yeah, you'll see me, like, when I go out, there's something wrong there. I might have an illness or something, but my feet get cold, like, instantly. I'm, like, double socking, whatever I could do.
Well, when you're playing, your feet don't really get cold, but...
I know, but when you're standing there, like...
Well, I know, but you were asking me about when I played, if it was snowing. Your feet don't really go cold, but you get cold. I actually loved when I was a senior, I was like wearing everything possible when I get, because it's cold in Kansas, like November. I would wear everything possible, layers upon layers. I loved it because when you're an underclassman coming up, the seniors in the typical like acting hard football way, we're not wearing any sleeves. No sleeves. I don't care that it's 15 degrees outside. And I'm like, no way. I'm going to be warm and then I'll play better.
Yeah. And that's, there's some coaches who operate under the theory that, like Chris Faircloth, the old Vegas coach who I thought high of, he would wear the same outfit week one in August during the water timeouts and the last game in December. Had that Washington State visor on, shorts and a t-shirt. And one day I'm like, dude, it's like 30 degrees. Can you put a sweater on?
Yeah.
Well, if I act, you know, if I'm afraid of the cold, what are my kids going to be? And I'm like, how about being a realist? It's cold out.
Exactly. We're on the same page with this one. But I think we're also on the same page. We both have Palo.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll move on to the other side. Green Valley and Liberty. You know, all I'm thinking about, this is a little off subject, but ever since he talked about Vernon Fox's gospel music when you call him, I don't think I've called Morocco this year. I haven't had a Liberty game on the phone, but I used to love when called Morocco and he had Metallica as his ringtone. I don't remember what song it was, but it was great. He needs to go back to that, whatever he has now. I'm sure it's not as good as when he had Metallica.
Yeah, and what company gives you the ringtones?
Like Verizon, maybe?
Verizon?
That's what I think it is. Okay. Shout out to Verizon.
I wonder what my... It's kind of like your walk-up music. What would your theme music be on your phone? Do you get to pick, or do you have to pay for it?
Oh, I'm sure you pick.
But, I mean, how many songs do they have?
They got to have a pretty good selection. I remember Morocco used to change his up.
I'm sure you got to pay for your song.
Yeah, I think you do have to pay, but still, Morocco had the best of all time. Green Valley, the reason I keep flip-flopping on this game is I was at Green Valley on Friday, saw them beat Vegas, and we think Liberty is the better team. I think we agree that Liberty should be a slight favorite, but I got to tell you, not that this should be that big of a surprise, but no one at Green Valley, they don't think they're going to lose. They're like really, really confident. They think this is their game.
That's typical Green Valley mentality, and that confidence does go a far way. You're not telling me you've drinking the Gatorade of sorts.
I mean, I don't know. Tell me, who are you picking?
Didn't you get my picks?
Yeah. I was going to give you a chance to tell the listeners.
It's this simple, Case. The two teams are going to line up. On one side of the field, there's the Liberty Patriots. On the other side, there's a Green Valley Gators. And when push comes to shove, I'm going to take the better team, and that's the Liberty Patriots. From top to bottom, I think they're the better team. Now, I will tell you this. Cannot wait to see Noah Jefferson and Tyrell Crosby go at it. Let the big boys eat, just get out of the way. Strong, big, fist, fast.
And Polu, fist. Right?
Fucked.
Well, they'll be matched up too, won't they?
Yeah,
Polu and Crosby.
Jefferson than Polo. I mean, nothing against Polo. He's a great player. He's going to Army, had Wisconsin offers. But Jefferson's a big boy. Big, strong, physical, active boy. He's a Crosby. Just let those. You know, when you go to those summer camps and the big boys just go at it?
Mm-hmm.
Let the big boys eat. Let them go at it. I'm just picking Liberty. I was like you. I went back and forth. And Green Valley's defense, to me, is troublesome, and if the Liberty offense is as good as it's been all the way through, I just think that Liberty's owe a deeper roster. The home field advantage should be enough. I will give you an asterisk, though. I worry that Green Valley's passing attack is going to slice and dice Liberty's young secondary.
Yeah, that could very well happen. I wouldn't be surprised. The other thing is why I was kind of my first reaction was Liberty. Even some people at Green Valley asked me, and I was like, do you want to hear my honest opinion? I think Liberty's going to win. So that was my first reaction. Then I started thinking maybe Green Valley's going to do this because, like I said earlier, they're so consistent on offense. I think you know what you're going to get more out of them than as of Liberty game by game. And I hate – my preseason pick was that this would be Green Valley Liberty, and I picked Green Valley to beat them. I think you may have too. And I hate backing off of that. That was part of the reason why I was so gung-ho on Arborview a couple weeks ago over Palo, because I said it early in the year and I couldn't back off. That being said, Liberty, to me, just the better team. I think week after week, I feel like Liberty's going to put it all together and just have this great performance, and they never do. It seems like it's always closer than it should be. But I think I got to stick with it one more week. I think Liberty, I think this is the week they get it done. I think they're going to be fired up for this game. They know that Green Valley's a challenge. I'm going Liberty.
I don't disagree. It's and there's
you can't pick against the King. When's the last time they lost to someone in the Sunrise?
It's like picking against Ali. You know, eventually Ali's going to lose, but I don't know if Green Valley's going to deliver the knockout blow. I just think that I like Liberty. I don't dislike Green Valley. I'll tell you this: whoever wins, I'm going to pick up North.
Yep, could happen. It could be Green Valley's time, but we're both going Liberty. And lastly, we got to pick the D1A game. Faith Lutheran going up north to take on Churchill County.
Yeah, great season by Faith Lutheran. They're going to celebrate the season for years to come. Unfortunately, it's going to be a runner-up banner that's hanging in the gym with a runner-up trophy. If that game's here at Faith, I take Faith. It's up north. I don't see them getting it done.
Is this either the third or fourth straight week where you've sat here and said, great season, Faith Lutheran, but this is it? Is it not? You keep saying that over and over. Guess what? It's not happening. They're going to win.
No way. You're picking Faith.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Dude, have I not taught you anything over the years?
Hey,
how are they getting there? Like, where is this game played? What's the weather going to be like?
How are the players? I care more about the personnel. And those are all good points. No, there are great points, but I like the personnel better on Faith Lutheran.
You want to give me some points?
I've talked about how good the coaching staff is.
What's the line? No discredit.
They're a favorite there?
You just picked them to win.
Yeah, I picked them to win. I don't necessarily think they're the favorite. Okay. We'll make it a pick 'em. Do you just want to make it a pick 'em?
Okay, pick 'em for five?
Yeah.
Pick 'em for five.
Wow, I have totally won the podcast by getting Brewer to pick a Northern team and bet on them. Yeah, all right. I think Faith Lutheran's going to get it done.
I hope they do. I'm rooting for them. I'll say that. Might not be a good journalist, but come on.
State champion Faith Lutheran Crusaders. How's that sound?
I mean, that sounds great.
All right.
You want to end the show?
Sure. Sounds good.
Shout out to everybody who's followed us all season on Twitter.
Tyrell Crosby. Yeah. Emmer Swag. Yeah. Sorry, I had to get a couple more shots. Morocco's ringtones.
Shout out to everybody. We'll see you guys out at the fields. We'll have a reporter at every game.